You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This podcast is brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, it's the double-header dream team of David Shapiro from Sasson Securities and also Nick Kunze, who's from Sandon Private Wealth. And I have to say, we have to start with you this week, Nick, because you've gone back. You've gone back to work. I mean, and you've been very, very enthusiastic about it. Has it lived up to your expectations? You're back in the office.
The Tuesday show coming to you live from the fourth floor in Alice Lane. Yeah, I've gone back. We've been encouraged to go back. A lot of people are only going back on the Monday, but I needed to. They deep cleaned the office apparently over the weekend, and we had to pick up our mandatory masks and sanitizers and all that sort of stuff. And I moved my screens and all my stuff back in.
Well done.
And I must tell you, it was actually, you know, it's 172 days today since I walked out this office. After we're told there'll be 21 days.
I could make jokes about you just having got married and everything, and already the honeymoon is over. I'm not going to say that, though.
I sprinted out the door as fast as I could. No, it is actually quite nice to sort of see my colleagues again. And, you know, very, very slowly getting a little, I guess, a sense of some sort of normality, although we're far from out the woods. But it does feel like people are encouraging us to try to get back in and try to get back to work, you know.
And David,
I'm dying here. I'm dying at home. I miss the office. It was a big adjustment not being on the floor, and then, but you make do in an office where you talk to people, you know, you go into other people's office and cause trouble and do the things that you shouldn't be doing. But I miss that. I miss walking up and down and seeing who's who, and you know, that's it. Just sitting there having a pizza or something at the what's a Tiger's Milk and just watching people move on at lunchtime. Very miserable.
There was a good sort of Bloomberg article doing around today about that JP Morgan had sent out a note to their clients and to their staff, and the general article was on. The headline was productivity falls for staff working at home.
Yeah.
And they were saying, they mentioned that they made up a new word called creative combustion has taken a hit. And they said the bank's findings have come out that the younger staff, their creativity and all that has fallen off a cliff. And they also want to start opening up JP Morgan again and get people to come back into the office and to be in front of people, you know?
Lindsay, the hardest is to mentor people and to help develop people.
Yes. You know,
it's very hard. And also, how do you promote people? How do you do the things that businesses do? It's very, very difficult. So I can't wait for things to get back to so-called normal. I don't mind moving phone, but you know what happens? And I haven't got the kind of setup that Nick's got with about 400 screens there. So I've got one laptop that feeds into screens, and all you do is you've got your docking station, you take it out now, and you go plug it in somewhere else, and you can work from anywhere. So anyway.
Anyway, but when are you going back, David? Just before we end this theme and get onto the Tuesday trade, when are you going to go back to Sasson Securities? When are you going back?
Never. They shut our offices in Melrose Arch.
Oh.
At the moment, I'm like a Bedouin. I'm like a gypsy. I'm like a homeless person.
A nomad.
You're wandering in the desert. Yes.
I'm wandering aimlessly. So we're trying to make some kind of arrangement. You know, if we want to see clients, we can see it there and so on.
All right.
But I think the whole reason is that there's a new lease coming up for the Waverley offices, so they wanted to bring everyone together.
So is that the one on the other side of the motorway?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I remember that. So, yes, you're driving towards Johannesburg. It's on the left-hand side, right?
That's right.
It's very recognisable, that currency used to be on the southern motorway. Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, let's have a look at what happened on the Stock Exchange News Service today, because I need a trade from you. I need a local trade. I've been accused of being too internationally centric with my short S&P position, which is it's not going against me, because I'm in the money with my 3,400 S&P 500 December option, because it's close to 3,400 again now. But it doesn't matter. I'm still slightly in the money. Let's have a look at something called...
Before you start, I'm just going to say this ties in nicely, because the reason I came in today was to have our meeting every Tuesday for our traders meeting within Sanlam. Right. So we can actually bounce some ideas off when we get to your trade.
Okay, start bouncing. African Rainbow Capital Investments Limited, their results came out today, Nick, and we spoke about it this morning on the opening. Mm. The share price on my screen down over 6%. What's happened there?
Well, look, I don't want to say too much because it's quite close to home.
But, I was going to say, they ex your boys. They ex Sanlam boys, yeah.
This is difficult to square the circle when you've got a share price down significantly on the day, and you've got a valuation by management at $9.57 a share.
Makes me laugh.
And the share price is trading $2.65, and there's been a lot of stuff doing on the rounds of Twitter with apparently, the highlights. If you look at the rationale, and then they came out of the rights offer. Significantly lower, $2.75. But if you actually read the small print, I urge you guys to read the declaration and announcement in terms of the fully committed and underwritten pro-rata announcement. The rationale for rights offer, and I quote this, for the purpose of settling the outstanding fund management fee. And we know what that is.
I find that distasteful. I find that distasteful. Explain it to David, if you would, or just go through it with David, because he's going to get annoyed when he hears this.
Yeah, so the NAV is set by management, and they've got the share valued at R9.57, and the market's got it priced at R2.65. But they pay themselves a management fee off their own NAV, not off where the market share.
You've got to be kidding.
Yeah, there we go.
So that seems like, wow, there's a rights issue coming, which I don't know. These guys, I don't know. I don't want to say too much. But it leaves a very bad taste in people's mouths.
I think it does as well. And who are the management people? You don't have to say anything. You don't have to give an opinion, Nick, because you're close to the company. But who are the management? I mean, there's an ex-Sanlam chap at the top, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think we move on.
Yeah, all right.
In that case, I really think we move on. Honestly, you know why? Because these are kind of stories. Lindsay, I don't know if you recall, and Nick certainly wasn't around in those days, but back in the heady days where IT stocks were going through the roof, even in South Africa, and you remember Nedbank wanted to pay themselves, also the management wanted to pay, and I'm talking about senior management, MDs, CEOs wanted to pay them on the gains that were made in some of their investments in these IT companies, which subsequently collapsed. They didn't do it correctly, but because they had financed a lot of these businesses which are doing well, they believed that they were entitled to some of the share of that profit there. I hope I'm getting the story right, but I mean, it caused a huge stink. But this is absolutely crazy. Anyway,
wasn't that around about the time that they built that
265?
Didn't they build that new HQ in? Just around the corner in village near Village Walk and near the JSE.
135 Avonia.
Very distasteful. Harmony's results came out today. Nick, I'll start with you on this one because David doesn't particularly follow the gold shares as much as other people do. But let's have a look.
Well, he called it. He called the rally.
It's like me. I can call the market occasionally, but I never do anything about it, and then I gnash my teeth for the rest of the year. But what about Harmony? They were good results, weren't they?
They were very good results, and I mean, obviously playing off the fact that this gold price has done so well and come off a very low base, and of course, obviously a weaker rand playing in, bearing in mind that Harmony's, you know, the majority of their, well, all the assets are based, majority of the assets are based in South Africa with their mines. And just a solid set of numbers. Bit surprising not to see them pay a dividend given the strong cash flow, but I think maybe prudent with all that's going on at the moment. But solid, really was. And I mean, this has come from, this share's up on, you know, over 150% from its lows. So it's done really well to reward people and picking up the slack and taking over AngloGold Ashanti's remaining shafts too. So keeping the South African side going. But I thought they were pretty good.
Mm. So what scares me Lindsay, and I don't know if you have access to charts. If you look at a chart of Harmony, it's like a rocket taking off.
Yes.
And that's just one of the worries, is that it looks very vulnerable at these kind of levels. You know, starting to wobble there. You've got this line that just points upwards, and at the top you've got that lollipop type form. You say, okay, this is going to fall over. But, you know, you can't take away from the numbers, as Nick has said.
Mm. Don't forget also, I mean, a lot of these shares came from, you know, a very, very low basis, but also back in the day, if you look back, say, you know, a number of, you know, 10 years ago when it was back in the heydays, you know, they've had the ups and downs, but you certainly, with the gold price about to sort of knock on the door of $2,000 again and the big demand for it, you know, it has run pretty hard. But if I look at a share price movement today, at one point it was up almost 9%, but then the dollar actually started to strengthen in the last hour or two in the States, so that the gold price has come off. But I think they were solid. I think they can be proud of themselves.
Okay, well done. Remco came out with a trading update, but I don't want to look at that one, unfortunately. I'd prefer to look at the Fashini Group Limited, TFG, trading update for the first 22 weeks of the 2021 financial year. David, have you had a chance to look at that one?
I can go through them. They came late. Yeah. I think the highlight, something that struck me, and I just tweeted it, is that, you know, everybody has been brushing aside the effects of load shedding. It wasn't too bad. We only had it. They lost, from May to August, 15,000 trading hours.
It's a lot.
Okay. Yes. No. So when we say, oh, it's not too bad, we got through it, it wasn't, you know, we managed it, that's the effect it has on a business. When you have to close your shop in difficult, difficult times for 15,000 hours, then it does have some kind of impact. And they're the first people that have qualified, you know, that have quantified it. So we don't.
These margins, I mean, are they quite thin in these retailers?
Of course they are.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they thicker or bigger than the global players, because in New York or in Europe and places like that where you've got high and dense populations, there it's a volume game. You know, volume low margin. Here, margins are generally bigger. But I mean, when you shut your in these difficult times where people are staying at home and not going to shops, you know, these kind of hours when you do open,
how do you make those hours?
You don't. They lost hours. So I'm saying it is an impact. They did highlight it as one of the negative. Look, the results weren't good because they were hurt right across Africa, London, and Australia, and simply because of lockdown. And the market, it's the first time, you know, that the market, Fashini is one of the favorites, and it's an exceptionally well-run business. Technologically, I think, above everybody else and well above all the other retailers. And yet the market didn't like it at all, marking them down almost 5%, 4.8%.
Yes.
So it's a bit of a surprise to the market that they came down, but it did take down some of the other retailers as well. I see Truworths also under a bit of pressure.
I was going to say,
I don't know why Dis-Chem, but it's not the same apparel retailer, but it was also down. So I don't know whether this was part of a bigger sell-off in retailers, or whether it's specific to to Fashini, because overall the kind of gains we saw last week, Lindsay, remember the big gains just seem to be unwinding.
Yes.
Yeah, they seem to be unwinding in banks and in retail.
Someone made a comment to me today. They said, have you seen the RAND? Because it hit some stops at sort of 1650. It didn't stop. The stops got it. And I went down at 1641. I mean, 1.5% firmer. And on the back of that, I'm looking at our retailers down on average 5%, on banks as well. You know, that dislocation between the stronger RAND and our financials once again. That correlation is completely broken.
Let me just quickly read to you what they said, because, David, you mentioned the load shedding and 15,000 hours being lost, trading hours. It says here, trading conditions across all three of the group's major territories, South Africa, the United Kingdom and Australia, continue to be challenging, with all three of these territories in economic recession following the effects of COVID-19, consumer spending has been under significant pressure, exacerbated by further job losses and social distancing rules in South Africa. And this is to your point. Continued electricity load shedding has further impacted on the country's economy. 15,000 trading hours lost to load shedding. In Australia, trade has been impacted by a reintroduction of lockdown. I mean, it's a triple storm. It's a horrible story.
I was going to say perfect storm. It is a horrible story. My goodness. If I get through the other side of this, it's going to take a while.
Yeah. When was the last time you two went out and actually bought anything from a shop? David, you're a shopper.
I went to H&M. I liked H&M. I went on the weekend.
What did you buy?
Rubbish.
Okay, so carry on. What rubbish? I mean, I've seen the way you dress. You're a natty dresser. What did you buy?
T-shirts and kind of summer stay-at-home stuff.
A velvet smoky jacket to walk around
there. Yeah, some slippers.
I'm wearing my fatigues this morning.
hoodie dress and gown, you know, that sort of thing for winter, summer rather.
But your money stretches a far way in at
I must H&M. Tell you, I must tell you, that's the only place I take my 10-year-old boy, H&M, and he loves it. He starts the one and goes to the other, and he loves it. Shorts and T-shirts.
I've never been there.
Only place he goes to. Good quality. Swedish.
You know, it used to be called Hennies and Maritz. You know that.
They came out. Their numbers were up today, though. The shares were up 11%, I think, if I'm not mistaken. They back there.
That was a Scandi institution back in the day. Still is, I think.
Yes. And it was actually, before people like you started going there, David, it was actually quite trendy as well.
It was. They were the first people they used. I wish Kate Moss as their advertising campaign. Topshop stole them. Yeah.
Every year they get a designer to design a line for them. A really top.
Very successful. Yeah.
But, you know, I've got my fatigues on today. I've got my, what do you call them?
Those, I don't know.
Army pants, those.
Oh, you've got some camo pants, have you? Really, I mean.
No, they're great.
Yeah.
They've got an elasticized top, elasticized bottom.
Oh, my goodness. Can we please stop? I don't want a 72-year-old man with telling me about his elasticized trousers. Thank you very much.
Actually feeling very lightheaded.
Yes, I am feeling a bit woozy myself. Hulamin Limited came out with a trading statement. Nick Kunzu, if you can regain control of yourself. Hulamin, 95 cents, down 8%. What's going on?
What can you say about Hulamin? I mean, it's one of those ones that's, you know, used to be a stock market darling back in the day with the other constructions and industrials, and it's fighting a losing battle in an economy that is completely, it's 100% exposed to an economy that's not growing. And South African GDP is far behind the curve to the rest of the world. So, it might be a recovery share. I don't know. But this is like you'd have to bottom draw this thing for years.
They've also restated all their earnings. I haven't gone through it in that great detail. But, once I see X percentage loss or so much loss, you just move on. So there are obviously a lot of issues there. I mean, here was a company which was unbundled out of Tongaat.
Yes.
And I mean, it was a superbly run business, or it produces aluminium, rolled aluminium. You know, they take the raw product, and it's just gone from bad. And keeps going down and down. Sorry, go on.
Now, there's an interesting switch on the back of this in that, what's our friend from that got the Impala Platinum trade right at Investec?
John Bickard.
I think he's got about 20 or 30% of his fund in this.
Yes.
I mean, it's such a big number. It's such a big number. And he had to get permission from this is public knowledge that I'm saying.
Yes.
He had to get permission from Investec to buy more, and he had to put a PA against his own personal name because the fund had broken the mandate because he owns so much.
You've got to be kidding.
Yeah.
True story.
I was looking today because I saw the Nvidia deal, and I can't remember the stocks I'm going to mention now. I can't remember all of them because I just wrote them down. But I looked at Nvidia. They're buying ARM, which is a great business.
From
it's a designer from $40 billion. So I said for $1 billion, I started to list the number of companies that you can buy on the JSE, which included Hulamin, Tongaat, Nampak, Sun International.
Wow. Get yourself an off spread.
You can't believe it. I mean, when you look at it
Airbnb, you can buy Sun International.
You can Sun International and City Lodge. I think Togo just got out of range a bit. It started to get a little bit more than that. But, I mean, Nampak, Tongod, Hulaman, you name them, all of them. Hudeco, it's just absolutely crazy what the market caps of these are trading for. So the list of the 10-odd shares, I think, that I put it came to about 15 billion rand or 16. So, in other words, you can buy them for 1 billion and you're even going to get some change out of it as well. And that gives you an idea.
At some point, there's some really quality shares down the bottom end that have been very beaten down. And if you've got the patience or if you're a private equity group, I'm sure you'd be sniffing around once this economy opens up at some point. But again, that's my fear, and I think David, you've raised it, that I think we might see more and more delistings on the JSE.
Super group.
Trading at a market cap of 300 billion.
Million.
300 million. Yeah.
300 million. Sorry, 300 million.
Right, yeah, exactly. Super group, they came out with some numbers. Who covers that one?
Yeah, the same thing.
I literally just saw the headlines were down 20-odd%. It's severely impacted in there, exactly in the middle of COVID, et cetera. It might be a recovery share, but, it was okay. At 3.7% of the day, market obviously thinks the worst is behind it.
Yeah, I can't understand that. Lindsay, we're getting on to my favorite subject because I thought with Bidvest as well, which is just the write-offs that we're seeing are absolutely staggering as well.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we're not abusing this situation. You know,
the bean counters?
I mean the auditors, the companies.
You mean like throwing
themselves.
The kitchen sink at
the bean counters? Yeah.
Exactly. In other words, the bean counters are saying, listen, it's COVID. People are going to understand. We've made lots of mistakes in the past. Let's just dump them
and
put COVID-19 around it. You know? So when you start to look at the goodwill intangible assets, the properties, the dealerships and everything else being signed, admittedly, because their cash flows are down, but we understand that this is a temporary period. And what they're trying to say with the write-offs is, no, this is not temporary. This is real. And that's what scares me.
That's very interesting theory you put forward there. Because on the one hand, you may say they are taking advantage of it. On the other hand, it's good to get it all out of the way during this period because it's not so much that it's sort of put aside because people are concentrating on other things, but it does get it out the way. It's pay and the pain goes away, as a bookmaker friend used to say to me. What do you think? There's two sides to this argument.
Yeah, well, you've got to do more work. You've got to actually know the business. And what we'll do is we'll see in the future, you know, whether they write it back.
So I was looking at City Lodge, for example. Like all the punters in Fricker are sniffing around City Lodge at the moment. Mm. And I just look at we've spoken about it a few times on the show. They own their property, they own their land, they've just had a rights issue. 1.2 billion was severely diluting a rights issue, 14-1. They've now got the cash in the bank and they're now hoping that maybe level 2 comes this week and the things open up. So they are, but again, also new management threw the kitchen sink at it, came the rights issue, literally dumped everything.
Mm.
But the question I guess you have to ask is that, you know, we hopefully aren't going to stay in this pandemic for the rest of our lives. Therefore, you know, who bounces back and how do we bounce back? Is the worst out and is it a recovery share? Because it can't be a permanent issue. Can't be.
Well, you see, I would like to go to the shareholders of APSA or the shareholders of Nedbank and say to them, okay, 50 billion, I'd like to buy the bank at that level. Okay, are people going to sell it? You know, this is what I'm trying to say is that when you write down your assets to that level, are you prepared to sell your balance, you know, are you prepared to sell your company at your balance sheet value? You know,
I guess the answer is going to be not.
No, that's what I'm saying. So why are you doing that? Why don't you reflect? I'm not angry about it, but I'm asking the question. So why do you reflect it like that? So
if you look at some of these price to books, David, on some of these banks, they are, I've used this quite a few times, it's because some analysts told me that they're as cheap as they've been on a price to book since the speech of the Rubicon.
Yes.
That's a fact. Because they've written everything down, exactly the same. Intangibles, everything else, it's completely written down. But is that a true reflection of their state of trading right now? I don't think it is.
No. So they've got it down because the recovery will be fast. I'm saying, well, would you sell it at these levels if they say no? So I said, so why are you writing down those kind of things. The same thing I lost.
Well, maybe you should wander across to to 135 Rivoni in your new Hennies and Morris dressing gown and ask them if you can move in. I mean, you need an office.
No, I'm very so that's what I'm saying. What the point I'm getting across is that hold on sec, Supergroup, hold on a sec, Bidvest. Are these Bidvest wrote off 2 billion rand? I mean, if you look at their accounts, their income statement, they were in loss. There was a loss there, and then they come back and say, well, adjusted for this, adjusted for that, et cetera, it wasn't that bad, but it was bad.
But we also have HEPS and headline. We have a little bit of a skewed accounting in South Africa as well to throw into the mix.
Give me a local trade, please, gentlemen. Please give me a local trade. It's the Tuesday trade feature. My account is primed and ready to go.
I've got one more question. This might be a trade for you.
Go on, then.
It might be a trade. Nick, what's happening with Investec? 4% down today, below 30 rand,
I don't know. We're quite big fans of the 91 side of things, purely because we like the sort of asset management play. It doesn't have the sort of lending side like what was spun off from Investec. So I'm not sure. Look, it might very well be a little bit of Brexit playing into, that negotiations is sounds like it's getting quite messy. Sounds like they're going to break a few international laws when they do it. And I remember first time when Brexit broke, Investec got a proper hiding. I don't know, people associated with the UK property. I don't know. That's pure speculation. I think it might be a little bit of that. And of course, a weaker day on the banks across the border. And there's a UK bank and all the rest, so maybe a bit of that.
David, I like this one. I like this one. The reason I like it is because people seem to have lumped everything into one day, and I know that Boris Johnson is under extreme pressure, not only from the opposition, but also from within his own party and ex-prime ministers, not just David Cameron and John Major, but also Tony Blair, also getting together and saying, you're breaking international law. So I think something's going to happen there, and I think the pound will rally, and therefore I think Investec will rally. Mm. So what was the closing price on Investec? What do I go? Investec Limited or Investec PLC? Yeah. Which one?
Limited was slightly better. I think it was 29.39 versus PLC's 28.90. That's all I
know. Go for the PLCs. Yeah. 28.90.
Okay, well, obviously I can't trade it now, but I'll do so in the morning. I know there's an after-hours market, but I'll go opening price in the morning. Let's say that I get it for 29.50 for argument's sake. Please note that down, Nick. I like that one, Investec. Yeah. I'm going to have a local exposure long and an overseas exposure short. So I've got a sort of a hedge going on there. I'm feeling Johnson very clever suddenly.
It's embarrassing. I'll tell you what we spoke about this morning at our little traders meeting here back in the office is lots of interesting noise around Richemont.
Well, yeah.
Tiffany thing again, is it? Is it?
It is the Tiffany thing, but this time it's LVMH. And Mr. Rupert supposedly canceling the warrants. Rejigging the board, apparently tidying up his accounts a little bit, cleaning up a little bit of shop. Rumors are that the family have no interest in taking over running of his business. He's always been a big bad bear. And rumor is he's looking for a bit of an exit at the top. He's worried about China and spending and luxury goods. And he said he can't keep the family succession going. So that's the rumor doing around.
So Richemont, getting out of Richemont, is that what you're saying? Because I thought they were going to take over Tiffany. Or is the Rupert family getting out of Richemont?
No. What? No, you're completely left field there.
Yeah.
No, after LVMH pulled out of buying Tiffany, the rumors are that he approached a friend in France, which is Man in France, and suggested, why don't you take over Richemont? And in the meantime, we'll tidy up. Apparently, the conversations were, well, you've got these structures, you've got this like 3-year option warrant and all the rest of it. Maybe you should tidy up that. So Rupert apparently said, fine, we'll cancel that. We'll keep those out the way and let's see what we can do. So that's the rumor.
If you look at LVMH, it probably has a market cap.
It's much bigger than Richemont.
What I was going to say. Let's call it, 250 billion, whereas Richemont is maybe 35. Put it in this way. It's probably five times. It's probably five times bigger than Richemont. I don't know the exact numbers, but it's. I'm just drawing on history. I think it was around five times. So there's a. It's not outside of their reach. you know, on a deal. It's not outside of their reach. Yeah.
And it complements itself quite well with obviously LVMH, more of a sort of the soft handbags and the goods, that sort of stuff. And whereas Richemont far more the pins, the watches, you know, they don't overlap too much. I mean, I'm saying this is just the sort of guys putting it together.
Very interesting.
Saying they're also looking at the recent, the recent cancellation as well of that warrant last week, and a few murmurings apparently that the family doesn't want to get involved in any sort of succession. And if I look at, I mean, the market cap of Richemont is 34 billion Swiss francs, so about $38 billion.
Dollars, okay.
And LVMH is, I mean, this thing's a freaking monster. I didn't realize it was so big. 251 billion.
Well done, David.
Quarter of a trillion.
And, of course, so that'll mean a delisting from the JSE. I mean, there's another major company that's going to be delisted from the JSE should all this happen within the next year.
No.
Why?
Let's take a step back. This is where it's
you'll have an ADR,
Correct. So what they're trying to do then, they made an announcement last week also tidying up their shop, saying they didn't like their different structures. They want to, they've inquired about if they make their Richemont shares tradable on the JSE exactly as they're tradable on Switzerland, like an ADR.
Yeah.
They also want to tidy it up too. So there's a lot of little listed stuff
just
seeing in the back end that's been, looks like they sort of, as I said, tidying up house a little bit. There's something going on.
Making it nice and bite-sized and palatable, in other words.
Or just cleaning it up, you know, making it tradable.
Exactly.
Making it sort of listed on both entities, cancelling the warrants, you know, just putting, getting their house a little bit in order in the back of possibly something happening. And, of course, the speculation is that LVMH is the next one. So, I mean, this usually trades... You know, last week this thing was trading around about volume of, I'm looking at the Swiss francs, which is kind of, it's where the price is made. You know, 1.7, 1.6 million shares. The last few days, 3.7, 3.9.
Oh, no, there's something going on there. So. I mean, come on now. Yeah, that's not just general market volume.
Yeah, that's
huge.
Something looking on it too.
Okay, what's in Nick Kunze? Yeah. Let's have a look at the market now quickly. 1641 is the dollar rand, British pound against the rand, 2110, and the euro rand, 1944. The euro is the one that's getting beaten up by the rand for a change. The euro dollar is 118.50. It was above 119 overnight. It's now fallen back, and therefore the gold price has, well, with the slightly stronger US dollar, the gold price is holding its own. It's $1952 per ounce. The platinum price is 969. I don't know why my screen says it's up 7% because it's not. But anyway, it's $1969 an ounce. Palladium, please, Nick Kunze.
That is strong. It's up 2%. I've got a $45. So 2358, reaching near the all-time highs.
Yes, going to the all-time highs. And the crude oil price has also bounced back. I've got a West Texas at 37.67, up 1.1%. And Brent crude oil, 39.94, which is up 0.8%. So quite a nice day. Yeah, that Richemont story is very good. Yes, but you do know, of course, that when, I mean, traders are notoriously useless at disguising things, aren't they? So if it goes from 1.6 million shares per day to 3.7 or whatever the number was, that you do know that something's going on. And when you get that, what was that thing that they had last week? They were they abandoned something to do with a share incentive scheme. Well, there was something. Yeah,
but there was the loyalty.
Loyalty, that was it.
Warrant,
yeah. Yes, exactly. So they're probably saying to everybody, "Yeah, we've got to get that out the way, and we've got to box it somewhere, just while we do this other thing."
And of course, the interesting one is making their shares as tradable on both exchanges in the same format. They've asked for permission to see how they can do it.
So it won't be a delisting. It'll be like a SAB, AB InBev story, that sort of thing.
Exactly, exactly like that, Lindsay.
Okay, on the upside on the JSE today, Textainer up 4%, Mediclinic up 3.4%, Harmony a 3% and a bit winner, Northern Platinum up 3%, and Life Healthcare up nearly 3%. On the downside, David mentioned this one, Dis-Chem down 5%, Stenprop down 4.75%, TFG down 4.4%. We know why that was, because of the trading update. Altron a 4.25% loser, and Impala Platinum down 4.2%. Nick, outside of those, any of your Sanlam screens? You've got 12 screens in front of you. Anything flashing?
Hold on, let me just get my stepladder and see what I can find.
Exactly.
No, not really. Just Northern's had a really good run recently. I mean, that stock was, sure, that was 130, 140. It's 187. So interesting to see that the Northern's up 2.7% and then Impala Platinum on the downside. So yes. Not sure what's happening here, but I guess maybe that sums up the markets a little bit pulling and bulls and the bears at the moment between this market as we head into the Fed tonight.
Yes, US Federal Reserve going to announce its decision tomorrow. And we've also got the South African Reserve Bank. The word is, David, everyone seems to think that there's going to be a 0.25% cut, whether it's a token cut or a real cut, I don't know. But 25 or 50 basis points to the downside, justifiable probably with the Rand nice and steady.
With the Rand coming down, it should be.
Exactly.
You know, they've got the margin to do so. Inflation is not a threat, even though it's creeping up. So there's no reason why they shouldn't do it. And you know where growth is. And when we look at the results that are coming through, Lindsay, there's no momentum in this economy. There's absolutely to go through the results now is really a challenging type of exercise. So I think I feel so sorry for business, business people and, generally for householders. So another 0.5%, what's the difference? Or another 0.25%, what's the difference?
Exactly. Nick, give us the closing indices on this Tuesday, please.
On this Tuesday trade day, we have JSE All Share down 0.35%. Closing at 56,130, JSE top 40, down 0.35%, 51,795. A real mixed bag. We've got on the upside energy up 1.29, healthcare up about 0.93, your basic materials slightly higher by 0.25%, utilities are actually flat on the day. And the downside, as we said, financials having a tough one, down 1%, industrials also, even despite the stronger rand, down 1%, and consumer cyclicals down 1.22%. And value traded today, I guess, average of the last few weeks, 22.95 billion.
Very good. Nice, William. I'm trying to find something meaningful to say about the US election and Mr. Trump, but I do know, Nick, you said to me something this morning about the wildfires, his wildfire quotes. He seems to want about a two, three million people to go and start raking the forest, and that'll stop what's going on. But he did say, I did see one thing this afternoon, which CNN keeps on replaying. He says, it's going to get colder, he said. he says, you watch, it's going to get colder, which is not the bravest thing to say, given we're going into a northern hemisphere winter. But anyway, let's not get on to that one. David Shapiro is deputy chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and Nick Kunzer is from Sanlam Private Wealth. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow incorporating the Tuesday trade. That podcast was brought to you by IG, a global leader in online trading and authorized financial services provider. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.